to the 18th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show, brought to you by IBM Canada. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Today, we feature an interview with Corina Ludwig, who is with a Victoria-based company called Function Fox. The company provides online timesheets for ad agencies, design firms, and other small creative companies, and it grew out of a need that they themselves had starting as an ad agency. They've grown to the point where now they have thousands of users in over 100 countries and an 85% retention rate. Pretty impressive. In the interview, we talk about the importance of niche and how that can help you focus your marketing efforts. We talk about the key element of people and staff in making your business succeed, some ideas that they've used to try and keep their staff happy. And we also talked a little bit about some of the tricks to gaining an international audience. We'll talk after the interview.
My name is Corina Ludwig. I'm the president of Function Fox, and we've been running Function Fox since 2000. And my role in the company is really been from the ground up to help grow the company, hire people, build the products, and really deliver our products worldwide today. What we offer is an online time and project tracking application. It's made for small creative companies, so companies that are anywhere from, you know, one user to 25 users and up, but really our focus is small creative companies. And it's an online, really online timesheets. So companies that are looking to grow their business, be more productive, more profitable, really if they're having a hard time keeping track of jobs or losing sort of understanding where their resources are going, our product really enables them to do that.
There are a lot of timesheet programs out there. What makes yours different?
There are a lot of programs out there and a lot of really good ones. What sets us apart from our competition is really that we're focused on small creative companies. So a lot of companies out there, they do time and project tracking or a combination of things, but really they're not focused on, typically they're not focused on one niche. So what we've done is we've really differentiated ourselves and said, okay, this is the market that we're going to go after, and it's been very successful for us. We started locally in Victoria, and then we've grown over the last, you know, 10, 12, 13 years to thousands of users around the world.
Wow.
And that's been really, you know, successful, and it's been great to see a company go from really, you know, no name to thousands of users logging in every day using our product in over 100 countries.
So. Wow. What is it that's made it so successful?
I think the big key thing is the people. We spend a long time hiring the right people. It's not just having, you know, great ideas and putting together a great product, but really getting a team that's working together. And we spend, like I said, a lot of time hiring, really finding not necessarily the right skill set for some of the key positions like development. Obviously, skill set's important, but the right attitude, so people that really want to go the extra mile and really believe in working as a team, and then really have the kind of over and above attitude that really...
So what do you deliver that's greater than what the competition offers?
It's simple, and that's the big difference. So we don't have all the bells and whistles. We don't try and be everything for everybody. We really understand the advertising design creative market, and we really focus on what their needs are. We've got a over 85% retention rate, and our biggest influx has been from referrals.
What are the unique needs of people in that target market?
It's really understanding how they work. So it's very different than just any time tracking company. It's understanding how the work flows. And with my background in sort of traffic management and production management, you can understand, you know, taking it right from where they're getting their first job and building a client brief all the way through to the whole product cycle and taking a job from start to finish in a short period of time and all the pieces that come as part of that. So what's unique is how we actually develop it for them. It's understanding the language that they use. It's understanding the kinds of pages that they actually need in order to move a project or a job from start to finish. And doing that in a very simple, easy, and accessible way.
How has it evolved over the years? In 2000, software as a service was not really there yet. So tell me about the evolution.
We started off with a really simple, just a one-sheet timesheet page, as well as a job report. really simple. And when we first started, you know, back in 2000, that was at a time when people weren't even comfortable doing online banking. So
yeah,
the big, you know, we had a big challenge or barrier there was just sort of getting over the hurdle of people actually wanting to do time tracking online. And launching a web-based product at that time was challenging for people to wrap their head around. That was our biggest barrier sort of to start off with. There was little competition at that point. There was only one or two other products that were even remotely in our space, and they weren't even online. So we had a real in to start off with, and that's, you know, I think part of our success is we started very early.
Yeah.
From there, we've had other challenges, of course, you know, typical challenges of any sort of growing pains. Anything from, you know, hiring salespeople and finding the right space to work in and all that, that a typical company would go through. But really over the years, we've seen it evolve just in terms of online marketing. I mean, there wasn't Twitter or Facebook or any of those sort of platforms when we first started. And now you have to be adaptable and sort of take on new things and be open to new channels of communication.
Now, those obviously have influenced how you promote your product, but do they also influence the product itself?
Not the product per se. No, okay. It's more about how we service and deliver the product.
Okay.
That really helps with our retention, and it really helps with our referrals.
Did I understand correctly from your website that this grew out of, originally your company was an ad agency or in that field?
Yeah, and it still is today. So the CEO of Function Fox runs a company called Suburbia Advertising. Back in 2000, they were looking for a time and project tracking system and really couldn't find anything. Nothing that was, you know, there was one product at the time, but it was not affordable and it was really cumbersome to implement, very not cost effective. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of was brought on looking at, okay, is there a possibility here? Is there something that we can build that's better? And so we started with a simple online timesheet for our internal staff and saw that it worked so well for Suburbia that we decided to say, okay, let's check out some other local companies and see if it would work for them. It worked for them. We did additional market research, saw that there was a need and that people started to look for that type of system, and we had that to offer.
Being in a software-related business, there's constant change in the systems people are using. Mm-hmm. How does that influence what you need to do and how you do it?
It definitely influences us from the standpoint that you always have to be at the top of your game. So you always have to be knowing what's going on, seeing in advance what the market is kind of bringing and adapting to that. So the other part that's really important for that is just knowing where you want to focus. And we've always kept a focus on small creative companies. And so instead of trying to be everything for everybody, we really focus on this is our market, this is our niche, and if it doesn't fit our market and our niche, we're not going to develop it. And that's really helped narrow the focus, and that attributes to online marketing as well. So it's very easy to determine these are the places that we want to advertise, these are the forums that we want to be a part of, these are the organizations that we want to align ourselves with, these are the partners that make sense for us.
So where do you focus and where do you advertise, promote? How do you do all that?
There's key industry publications, so print publications such as How and Print. There's trade show venues that we go to where, and then in terms of online marketing, it's everything from freelancer forums. It's anything where graphic designers, marketers really congregate and meet online. And those tend to shift sort of year after year. But we found, you know, pockets of success, as well as looking sort of more globally and saying, okay, there's an event that's happening in Italy in May that we're considering going to.
Wow.
So it's those things that really bring a small Victorian player out into the sort of the big market.
At this point, how international is your customer base?
We are in over 100 countries. Hours of operation really accommodate almost every time zone. We've got people starting as early as 3 a.m.
Whoa. Where are they based?
They're based in Vancouver. And that works for them. And so that's part of our hiring practice, too, is just being able to be flexible. You know, we say flexible.
Find night owls.
Yeah, flexible work hours. And that really is, you know, we have someone who wants to start at 3 a.m. and that works for us because it works for our customer base.
So other than dealing with time zones, what are some of the challenges involved in dealing with other countries and selling internationally?
Probably the biggest challenges that we've come across is language. And then it's sometimes customizing the product to work in ways that they need. So whether it's, you know, they want to enter yen, for example, as their currency, and how that shows up on all the reports. They format their dates differently so they can customize that part. Right. So instead of month, day, year, it's year, day, month, or whatever they need. It's everything from, you know, small decimal points and even how they want things to round up or round down based on their cultural differences.
Oh, interesting.
So it's learning. You know, there's small little barriers that we're able to overcome, but it's finding out, you know, this is what works for them, and we put something in place that enables them to continue business with our product.
Do you end up having to do a lot of customization then, and do you charge for that, or how does that work?
We don't do a lot of customization if it doesn't make sense for the majority of our users. Simple things that we can do where we can release it to one individual or one company, we absolutely can do that. We don't charge for that. We don't charge that person, but overall we're going to end up getting more customers. So that's how we sort of recoup right. our costs on that.
When you were first getting this business going, you say you started locally and meeting with local companies to find out about their needs. And then how did you grow it from that point?
From there, we started to market to Vancouver companies, mm-hmm. you know, close to home, but not too far away. And from there, they started to refer, actually, okay. people. We did about 400 calls across okay. Canada just to see what people were using.
Oh, and, interesting.
You know, was there a big player in the market? And found that there wasn't really a key player in the market. So even those calls gave us a lot of insight into, okay, they don't have something, they need something. Yeah. When we have a product that's ready, we're going to call them back. And that helped us sort of get across Canada quite quickly. And then primarily it was through word of mouth at the beginning. We believed that, you know, people would just come to our website and purchase. That didn't quite happen. We didn't believe in advertising when we first started. We didn't.
That's actually ironic for an ad agency.
Yeah. We actually didn't start advertising until sort of 2 or 3 years into it. And then we looked at hiring a sales team and actually putting, you know, the infrastructure in terms of customer service and increasing our development team. Mm-hmm. But you learn those things along the way. And we really looked at, okay, what do we need in order to grow the business? And we've added what we've needed sort of ever since.
So what do you have by way of a sales team now, and what do you do in terms of actual paid advertising?
We've got 6 members on our team that are actively just doing outbound calling or dealing with incoming sales inquiries.
Okay.
And so that's 6 full-time. We're looking actually for another 4 full-time people. In terms of paid advertising, what we do is a lot of print publications complemented with online advertising. So if we advertise in How and print, we're also showing up at their trade shows, and then we're advertising online. We're doing email blasts with them.
Okay.
So it's various channels hitting our target market. We've also done direct mail. Mm-hmm. And we've had to shift over the years. Everything from, you know, sending emails, which everyone seems to be doing these days, mm-hmm. we'll actually look at what is everybody else doing and do the opposite. Because we found that that's been really successful when, you know, you're getting thousands of emails or hundreds yep. of emails every day. You know, how many direct mail pieces do you get in your mailbox? Not very many. Mm-hmm. So we've really been able to stand out from the rest of the competition or the crowd by doing things that other people aren't doing and getting recognized in ways. Instead of trying to be at the top of all the emails, we're actually just have to send something direct mail. It costs a little bit more, mm-hmm. but the return has been that much greater.
Really? Okay. So what do you think are the elements that would go into making a successful direct mail piece in this day and age?
It's still about simplicity, and because our product is very simple and straightforward, we really try and sort of echo our brand and our voice of being simple, straightforward, okay. online time and project tracking. And, you know, Function Fox is a name that has been out there for years, and people hear about it. They, you know, put 2 and 2 together. There's people that have been on our list for years, and they've seen us at trade shows. They're receiving emails from us. Then they get a direct mail piece. And what makes our direct mail pieces successful are they're just very simple. You know, it's one headline, a couple really short things to read. It's not pages and pages of here's what we do and here's the whole mm-hmm. package. It's a simple postcard that says, if you're looking for online time and project tracking in a simple, easy way, you know, if you're looking to control your jobs and increase your productivity and profitability, Function Fox makes it easy.
Does it integrate with any contact management systems? Or
there's lots of companies that use quite a few projects or products in tandem. So we have companies that use TimeFox in relation with, you know, other competing products or QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. In terms of integration, we do some integration with QuickBooks for those that are in PC, so there's mm-hmm. some integration there. Mm-hmm. But really, it's a fairly straightforward product. We have a few different products, but they're all time and project tracking related. So integration is not really essential for their business in okay. terms of working with time tracking. They'll use time tracking with us, and then they might use something else for their accounting package, and they might use something else for their CRM pack.
So what are your hopes going forward? What are your plans for where you want to take this company?
We're really going to stay tried and true on the small creative companies. At least that'll be our focus for the next few years. We are expanding into other geographical markets and always looking at that as an opportunity.
And how do you approach that then?
It's really looking from where we've had success. So we'll try a small pocket of concentration in one area and see if we get, you know, success in that area. Or we'll do a direct mail piece to whether it be one state or one country and kind of say, okay, we're going to all work on this particular geographic region for the next 2 months and see what we can get out of that. And then we kind of look and say, okay, that's been really successful, or this really works. So let's do more of what's working and obviously take off what's not working.
Sure.
And learn from those successes.
What have been some of the biggest challenges that you faced getting to where you are now?
Probably the key challenges that we faced was in the beginning, it was really launching a web-based or SaaS product and having people adapt to that. That was the biggest one when we first started off. Later on, it's been everything from finding the right key employees in a small Victoria market. Mm-hmm. It's being recognized worldwide as industry leaders in time and project tracking software from, you know, the small town of Victoria, BC. On the West Coast, where is that?
You know, yes.
People are like, oh, you must be in Toronto.
How do you deal with that? Is it difficult not being in Toronto?
No, it's not that difficult. Nowadays, it's not as difficult. In the beginning, when we first started off, we didn't put an address on our website. We really played to, you know, we had U.S. pricing, we had Canadian pricing. We really played to not being anywhere.
Right.
So that people could assume that we were in the U.S., and that's really where we started a lot of our business. The accents always, you know, gave us away.
Yeah.
And they still do today, but I think these days people recognize that you can do business from pretty much anywhere, and so you don't have to be in the key markets or the key cities to really be able to have a successful business. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, deliver amazing products from a small Victoria area.
That's pretty nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Some companies, particularly in software-related businesses, feel that they really ought to be represented in San Francisco, and if they want to get major growth. Is that something that's ever tempted you?
We definitely considered, you know, should we open up a London office or an Australia office? We had one of our staff members move to Australia, and we looked at opening up an Australia office and found that, yeah, you can have some better connections if you're locally, but you need greater infrastructure, and it's a bigger risk. So what we've done instead is we found that we look at where the key industry trade shows are.
Okay.
We'll set up, you know, if we're going to a trade show in Nashville, for example, we'll meet all of our customers in Nashville. We'll meet some prospects in Nashville and start some assimilation or some base there. But we haven't physically had to relocate or open up a different office yet because we're able to do everything from our office. It's not cost effective for us. And these days, you know, people, they're buying lots of online products, so they're not expecting that they have to be able to go next door and,
right,
you know, knock on the door to get service. They can call us, they can email us.
How have you dealt with people's increasing transition to mobile? Do you have a mobile version of your software?
We don't at this point. We are working on a mobile version, and you know, that's an area of challenge because it's always adapting and changing, and it's challenging to always be at the forefront of that.
Yeah.
The majority of our target base, they're working in an office, they're on okay. their computers. So while mobile is important, it's not the forefront of our business.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they're typically in the office, and when they're managing their projects and they're working with their teammates, they're typically in the office, or they're working remotely from home, And, you know, you can use our product on the iPad or on your phone, anything that really has a web browser. It's all web-based.
Okay.
So having specific mobile applications, we have an iPhone app, but it's something that people use for convenience. It's not something that they need to use to run their business.
What advice would you offer to other Canadian businesses wanting to get into the market? Not necessarily your market, but mm-hmm. wanting to grow a business online.
I think the key factors to growing a business online, sort of on the online side of it, is really knowing the market and what market they're after to market. And I mean, we've been doing this for 13 years and we still haven't exhausted it. And it's always changing, so it's almost like you can't ever exhaust it, which is great for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other key thing that, you know, would be worth mentioning is just hiring and the whole HR side of it. There's lots of companies that have a great product or a great idea, but they don't always have, they don't value the team that's delivering it.
How do you keep them happy?
Really investing in our people. It's everything from giving them lots of flexibility, so, you know, starting at 3 a.m. if they want
mm-hmm.
to. It's being open to balance is huge. You know, we've got moms with kids and people just starting families and people that have older parents that need sort of assisted
mm-hmm.
help and really recognizing that, yes, they're coming to work every day, but there's a whole other side of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we really focus on helping them with that. And then we also put in lots of incentives. So if the company is doing well, then they'll do well as well. 2012, we set a goal and we said, okay, if this is the growth, this is the growth that we're looking to hit in 2012. If we hit that growth, we're going to take everyone, including their spouses, to Vegas.
Yeah,
well,
cool.
They not only hit the target, they far surpassed the target,
wow.
which we didn't think was possible. And so putting things like that in place where they're rewarded, where we'll all go kayaking at lunch, or, you know, we'll all go bowling, or we took a day where we're all building boats together. Very out of the norm of what you would do for a typical software company who's selling an online time and project tracking application.
There's an idea I've been exploring lately for a software product that would really meet a need that Frank Online Marketing has. I discussed it with a business advisor who's worked with a lot of startups who develop software, and he reminded me not only how much work it is to develop a good software product and sell it and maintain it, but also that just because I have a need for the product doesn't mean there's a market for it. So I was really interested in how FunctionFox approached this. They did build the product initially for themselves. They tested it locally. But then they made 400 phone calls all across Canada. What's great about that is not only did it give them a huge amount of market insight about, you know, whether or not there was a demand, what people were currently using, what their frustrations were, but it also gave them an incredible head start once they did launch their product nationally. So always remember the importance of doing your market research. One of the other points that Corinna made that I found really interesting is, of course, we all, especially in this social media era, think that if we just go out there and do our thing in social media, we really don't need to spend money on advertising. Well, yeah, occasionally there is some big viral hit where that's the case. But for most people, you really do. And she acknowledges that that was a mistake they made initially. Once they got over that, they realized that they not only needed to advertise, but that it was important to hit their target market in a whole bunch of different channels. So they put ads in trade publications, at shows, they did online marketing, and interestingly, direct mail, which I think is a very clever thing to do now because so few people are doing physical mail. Another issue that they dealt with was the question of portraying to the world that they were a big international company when, in fact, they were a little tiny Victoria startup. There's always a balance to trade off there because, on the one hand, people like to have a personal connection with the company and know who's behind it. On the other hand, particularly if you're trying to sell into places like the United States, it's usually a really good idea to subtly lead them to believe that you're based there. When I started Web Mystery Shoppers, Inc., I was also strongly advised by my lawyer and other advisors to create another company called Web Mystery Shoppers International for selling into the United States. And that was a very effective strategy. The other thing that I think is worth noting from what she said, and actually she talked about it quite a bit more than I left in the interview, but the importance of staff, making sure that you hire the right people, that you treat them right, so you keep the right people. And they do some really clever, creative things for keeping the staff happy. And I think one of the most important ones there is the whole work-family balance thing. I know, again, that in my business, I've been able to have some fantastic staff because I set the work up so that it could all be done remotely. And so if somebody, well, I actually had a woman who worked right through a pregnancy. And when she was having trouble sleeping late at night, she'd get up and do work. But then I didn't mind if she slept away the whole next morning. So having flexibility is a great way to help yourself get really excellent staff and to keep them. That's all for today. I look forward to chatting with you next week.